Marianne as they are in Thailand, and Purik as they meet him and as they grow in their relationship and as they work on all the paperwork to get him back here to the States. Father, for Rachel and the 15 ladies that are gone to the missionary conference in Brazil to fill up the cups, the buckets of these missionary women that serve year-round that need just encouragement. So please bless these ladies. We know, Jesus, that our life is empty without you. And we thank you that we know you. We thank you that we have you as our Savior and as our friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I need Jesus. Do you need Jesus? Every single day. Every single day. In 2003, Chris Rice wrote a song entitled Come to Jesus. I don't know if you remember that song, but it's 20 years old now. But I wanted to start my lesson this morning because the lesson is entitled Come to Jesus, and we sang some songs about the God of mercy, the Father of mercies, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning, that Jesus is the merciful Father that we need so desperately. So let's sing together Come to Jesus as we start.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away. Precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So follow Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, and live.
I knew very early in life that I needed Jesus. I gave my life to him when I was 15 years old. I was baptized into him, began my walk with him. I'm a little older than that now. I am 61 years old, and I realize that I need him even more. I think as we grow older and the closer we get, we just realize we are totally dependent upon Jesus. And what I want to do this morning is explore this idea of Jesus and his mercy, of how he came down to be God's representative, to be his mouthpiece, to be his likeness, to be God's personality with skin on. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it says that the Son, that Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus is the radiance. He just radiates who God is. And it says that he is the exact representation of the Father. So we have in Jesus, we have God. And in God, we have Jesus. In the book of Exodus, Moses has led God's people out of Egypt, and they're en route to the promised land. And Moses goes up to the top of Mount Sinai to get to receive the law on the stone of tablets. You remember the story. But what happens? The Israelites are impatient. He's not coming back down. So they make the golden calf. And when Moses arrives, he sees the revelry. He sees the dancing. He sees the golden calf. He gets angry, throws the tablets down, and they break into pieces. Well, Moses, a little bit later, after he calms down, he regains his composure. He's still frustrated, and he says to God, "You want me to lead these people, but you haven't told me, who are you going to send with me, God? If you're pleased with me and you're pleased with your people, teach me and show me that I can find your favor. Remember, God, this nation is your people." So he has to remind God, "Remember, God, these are your people. You made them." The Lord responds, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." In chapter 33 of Exodus, God says this, or Moses says, "If your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, I'll do this. I will do this because I am pleased with you, Moses, and I know you by name. And then Moses says something very, very brave. "Now, God, show me your glory." Can you imagine having said that to God? "God, just show me your glory. I'm afraid that I would be toast immediately. I would be gone. There would be no more of me left if I said, 'God, show me your glory.'" He said, "Show me your glory." So brave. But how God responded maybe is not what we would expect. What did the Lord say? In chapter 33, 19 to 22, God says this, "I will cause all of my," what? "My goodness. I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of a rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by." My mercy. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, compassion on whom I have compassion. The word for mercy in the Old Testament that we see several times translated goodness or kindness of God, the grace, the favor of God, is also in the Hebrew the word hesed, which means God's kindness, his loving kindness, or his goodness, the goodness of God. So when he says, "Show me your glory," God says, "I will show you my goodness." Isn't that beautiful? We think it's going to be I think it's going to be a light show. It's going to be something really fantastic. And God says, "I'm going to cause my goodness to pass in front of you. You're going to see how good your Father really is." It denotes devotion to a covenant. God's covenant love. It is God's steadfast love, his persistent refusal to wash his hands of his wayward people. God is in it. He is going to love his people to the end. Doesn't matter how stubborn, how sinful they are, God will not give up on his people. He is a covenant God. He is a God who shows mercy and compassion over and over again. So in Exodus 34, Moses chisels out the second set of Ten Commandments because, you know, the first ones have been broken. And he reveals who he is because he says, I will proclaim my name in your presence. So here he says, here, this is who he is, the Lord. It's his name, the Lord Yahweh, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and that you could add thousands of generations. He is faithful to thousands of generations, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations. Let me just explain just a little bit. So he says the love that God shows goes to thousands and thousands of generations. Sin that is passed down generationally goes three or four generations. What is much greater? Just natural sin, or what we reap what we sow. We read that in the book of Galatians. We reap what we sow, but God says his love is so much greater than just the generational sin that we see. His love goes to thousands and thousands of generations. Moses asks to see God's glory. And God says, I will show you who I am. This is his nature. This is who God is. He gives you a picture of who he really is. His nature, God's nature, is love. His nature is goodness. His nature is compassion. His nature is mercy. His nature is grace. And his nature is faithfulness. That's who he is. So what does God do? He sends his representative. He sends Jesus. In John chapter 1 in verse 14, it says, the Word, in the beginning of John, the Word became flesh. The Word was God. The Word is God. The Word became flesh and he dwelt. He made his dwelling among us. We have seen his, what's the word? Glory. Remember that word before? Show me your glory. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, full of grace and truth. The glory of God came down. The glory of God came down to walk on this earth. The glory of God came down. And he made his dwelling among us. He literally, the word is tabernacled. He tabernacled. He lived among us. And the glory of God came down in Jesus as he traveled around Galilee and Judea. And wherever he went, he took the glory of God. He was the glory of God. Remember the tabernacle in the Old Testament, in the temple. The Holy of Holies was where the glory of God was. People looked to that tabernacle or that temple, and the Holy of Holies, the glory of God was there. But now the glory of God has come down. Jesus, he is the glory of God, and he became flesh. And the glorious presence of God was embodied in Jesus. He was the true glory of God, the presence of God, the dwelling of God. In verse 16 to 18 of John, it says, out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Out of his fullness, We've seen grace in place of grace already given. Can you see it? It's the abundance. Out of the abundance of what Jesus received from God the Father, we have received grace in place of grace. Just grace that overflows, wave after wave of grace. It keeps coming down because of Jesus. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father has made him known. Jesus makes God known. That's why we need to chase after Jesus. That's why we need to come to Jesus. The glory of God was being revealed through Jesus, through the work of the Holy Spirit. This plenitude, this abundance of divine glory, this abundance of goodness which resides in Christ is an ocean that just keeps overflowing. And all people, everyone can come to him. And as we come to him, the contents, that ocean will never diminish one drop because God just keeps filling it up. The ocean will never run dry. And what we, the followers of Christ, we draw from this ocean of divine fullness. It is the grace upon grace, the wave after wave of God's grace being constantly given to us. And there's no limit to that grace. This grace, this compassion that overflows to Jesus, it's the shape of who he is. It's the shape of God. It's the shape of God's heart is mercy, is grace, is compassion. You know, we think in the Old Testament, God was a vengeful God, and some people come away with that idea that God is a vengeful God. But many, many times this description of God and who he is, of grace and compassion, is said at least 8 times in the Old Testament. That no, God is the God of mercy and kindness and love. That is who he is. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, we see the invitation of Jesus, come to me. His invitation, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Jesus is humble. He's gentle. He invites us to come. He doesn't want to punish us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to bring us in. And then in chapter 12, just a bit after this, the prophet Isaiah says this, here is my servant. This is talking about Jesus. I've chosen him, the one I love and whom I delight. I put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory. And in his name the nations will put their trust. So why would we not come to Jesus? If he is gentle and lowly and he's not going to snap us off, he's not going to break us when we sin, he's not going to snuff out our fire, whatever little bit is left. That is not who he is. He is not. He's compassionate. He wants us to come to him. That is who Jesus is. The beautiful picture of him. Tender, gentle, caring, compassionate, kind. In the New Testament, grace, or in the Greek, charis, is the feeling of compassion, especially showing kindness towards someone in need. Compassion to someone in need, someone who is helpless. And that is exactly what Jesus has done for you and me. He is compassion to us who are in need. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says this in verses 4 to verse 8. He says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is what? Say it out loud. Rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. There is no other place in the Bible, I think this is right, but he says it actually a little bit further down. He is the incomparable riches of his grace, but he's rich in mercy. The Bible never says he's rich in love, or he's rich in anything else, but it says he is rich in mercy. Take that home with you today. He has made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It's by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable what? Riches of his grace. The incomparable riches of his grace expressed to us in what? His kindness. His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. It is by grace we have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. What kind of Jesus do we have? He is his kindness to us. He loves us so much. He doesn't want to punish us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Next verse is just as important. For God did not send his Son into the world, what? To condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That is who he is. That is who Jesus is. John 3, 16, 17. It is the gift of God. You see, you and I have received a gift, a rich gift. It is God's nature. It is who he is. It is his heart. And so when God sent Jesus in his exact representation, he knew, God knew, this world needed mercy and grace. Do you need mercy and grace? Absolutely. I need it every single day. Need his mercy and grace. Colossians 1:19, Paul says this, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness, all of who was in God, he put in Jesus, all of his fullness to dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on heaven, earth, or things in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So every drop of who God was, all of his fullness, was made known through Jesus. And then look in chapter 2, verse 9, it says, for in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. You have been brought to fullness. You, all of us, have been brought to fullness. In other words, we all have what we need to live victoriously in Christ. He's given us the fullness of God. Wrap your brain around that one. He's given us the fullness of God. Am I using what God has given me? Am I using the blessing of his Spirit living in me that I, he says, I have brought you to fullness. I'm giving you all of me through your Spirit. Are you going to let me use you? You see, we see the mercy of God, the love of Jesus, on every page of the Gospels. Every story, every encounter, mercy is who he is. He came to heal, to rescue, to save, through teachings, through personal conversations with people, and encounter after encounter after encounter, his mission was to do the Father's will. You and I have received this mercy of God, and it's for us every single day. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're what? New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. They're new every morning. They're new every morning. How compassionate and gracious and kind is he. This grace of compassion and kindness is meant to help change a world that isn't very kind. You know, we live in a world that there's a lot of brokenness and a lot of unkindness, a lot of lack of compassion. And Jesus says, I want you to to be my kindness, to be my mercy, to be my compassion. I've given you my fullness. I've given you my fullness. Will you be my fullness? In 2 Corinthians 3-7, Paul says this. He prays be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and sometimes in some Bibles, that's the Father of mercies. We sang about the Father of mercies this morning. The Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we have received from God. You see, we've received the fullness of God. We've received His comfort. We've received His mercy. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. What He has given me, I pass on to others. I comfort others because God has given me, Jesus has given me His fullness. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you also may share in our comfort. We are to be the comfort of Jesus through the power of His Spirit. We are to be as He gives us, as He is the Father of compassion to us, we share that compassion with other people. Everywhere. It's everywhere in the Bible. God is merciful. Jesus is merciful. We have received mercy. Be a merciful people. Share that mercy with other people. The Old Testament prophet Micah, chapter 6, verse 8 says, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to what? To love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To love mercy, to act justly, walk humbly with your God. And then he says, a little bit further down in chapter 7, who is a God like you who pardons and forgives transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight. You delight to show mercy. Something that makes God happy is showing mercy because it's who he is. He delights to show mercy. You will have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underneath, hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. That's an amen right there. That God's going to hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. He delights to show mercy. It is who He is. Do you remember your life without Jesus? Do you remember your life without Christ? You know, we need to think back. We need to think back when we were lost and what it was like when we had no hope, when we had no future. What was that like? Because Jesus changes everything. He changes our life, our road that we walk on. Titus chapter 2, Paul says, he says, at one time, we too were foolish. Remember? We too were foolish. Disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passion and pleasure. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But what? But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us because of His mercy. That is who He is. The kindness, the love of God, the love of Jesus. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having hope of eternal life. Do you remember when you were far away? Do you remember when you were disobedient and foolish and deceived and enslaved? We need to remember that we once were lost because we need Jesus and people around us need Jesus. in the novel, The Hiding Place. Corrie ten Boom and her family live in Holland at the time of the Holocaust, when Hitler was killing Jews and taking over Europe. And the persecution grew worse, and Corrie and her family decided to build a room, a hiding place, in their narrow little house and start rescuing people from the Holocaust. Their family was a very godly family. Their father read the Bible to them all the time. And so when it came up, do we help and try to save as many as we can? It was, yes, we will do. If we die, we die. But it is the right thing to do. So they showed mercy to many, many people. They invited them into their home. They hid them. They fed them. They clothed them. They were God's channel of mercy in a war-torn world where fear and death were rampant. But then they got caught. Corrie and her sister were sent to a concentration camp. It was called Ravensbrück. It was a horrible, filthy camp filled with disease and death. Yet Corrie knew God was with them. And it was in the concentration camp that the two sisters, Corrie and her sister Betsy, they shared their faith. And every night, secretly, they would have their devotionals. Now, the camp guards would not come to their barracks because their barracks was full of fleas. Corrie said, "I never thought that I would be thankful for fleas, but the fleas kept the guards away so that we could study the Bible and we could pray and we could encourage each other and we could praise God." They did this for a long time. Now, Corrie's father ended up dying in prison. Her sister, Betsy, died in the concentration camp. But before her sister, Betsy, died, she told Corrie, she looked at Corrie and she said, "Corrie, no hate. No hate. That is not what the Lord would want from us." They had seen so much hate, so much death, so much despair. But retaliation was not the answer. During her days in the concentration camp, Corrie was prisoner 66730. Each person in the concentration camp reduced to a number. Can you imagine? 66730. That's my number. That's who I am. But one day she heard her name called out. And that was the beginning of when she was going to be released. They started calling her name again. She knew the Lord knew her name. But when she was released, she stayed 10 days in the hospital, recuperating from harsh treatment, from malnutrition. And she went back to Holland. And she remembered the words of her sister, Betsy. She said, "We must tell people, Corrie. We must tell people what we learned in this place." So Corrie became actually a famous speaker. She started traveling around Holland and Europe and even the United States. And she started telling her story of the concentration camp of Ravensbrück, how God had sustained her, of all the lessons, of all the mercy of God that she had been extended to her in the concentration camp, how God had sent fleas to keep the guards away, so that they could study the Word of God. And one day, she was speaking, and it was in Munich, Germany, and she was telling her story of how Jesus had washed her sins away, and how Jesus had saved her, and how God was a merciful God and a gracious God. And she saw, at that moment, she saw one of the Nazi guards who had guarded her. Their barrack, this guard who had beaten and mocked and treated so many women with disdain and disrespect, and he was there to hear her story. And the guard came up to her, not recognizing her, of course, that beaming and bowing to her and said, "How grateful I am for your message, Fräulein. To think that, as you say, he has washed our sins away." And he thrust out his hand to shake hers. And first she couldn't do it. It's like, "Oh, Lord, help me." He wants to shake her hand, and all of the angry thoughts and the vengeful thoughts had flooded her mind, and she saw all of her own sins before her, and those thoughts that she was thinking, that they weren't from Jesus. Jesus had died for this man too. She prayed, "Lord Jesus, forgive me. Help me to forgive this man." She tried to smile. She tried to raise her hand. She tried to shake his hand, and it seemed like an eternity. She couldn't. She felt nothing, not the slightest hint of being able to forgive him. But then she, in her mind, she said, "Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." And when she said, "Give me your forgiveness," she stuck out her hand and she said, something happened. Said from her shoulder all the way down, there was this tingling as he shook her hand, and her arm passed this current. It said her heart sprang a longing for this stranger that almost overwhelmed her. And they shook hands, and she said, "It was the mercy of God that I was able to do that. Because what Jesus had done for me, I was able to forgive this man." But she discovered, she says, it is not our forgiveness any more than it is our goodness that the world's healing hinges on. But it is on Jesus' forgiveness. It is on Jesus' goodness. He's the one that is good. I am not. He is the one that is forgiving. I am not. And I can only forgive when I depend upon him. Have you received the mercy of God? Have you received the mercy of God? Do you extend the mercy of God to those around you? I am so thankful for the mercy of God every single day, for this living hope that we have because of Jesus. I want to close with this scripture in 1 Peter. It's where our song Living Hope comes from, but it said from 1 Peter chapter 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great," say it, "mercy. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And this inheritance is kept in heaven for you." Would you bow with me in a word of prayer, and then we'll be sing this song, Living Hope. Lord Jesus, we need your mercy every single day. We are so thankful the fact that you came in the exact representation of God. You came to earth. You were filled with the fullness of God, and you have given us this fullness as well. You want us to be a merciful people, a grace-filled people. You want us to be to invite people and to love people that perhaps aren't very lovable. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Help us to count our blessings and to name them one by one. You have been so good to us. And Father, if there is anyone here today that needs to feel your mercy, please, we want to pray with them. We want them to become a part of the family of God. Put that on their heart today. If they need to talk, or if they need to be baptized, if they need to make a decision to follow you, Lord, you are always knocking at the door of our hearts. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Lord, you're always inviting us in to a deeper walk with you. Thank you, Jesus, for this hope that you give us. We give you praise and glory today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing Living Hope.
Let there be between us, I'll never know. darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my Lord.